Welcome back to the Nullified Podcast here on YouTube, where we've got the TNT takes for you on Australian Survivor. Yes, we're back to talk about a big week, and there's been so much drama. Even before we went live tonight, that is why we're late. We've been trying to get Mucky not to quit the podcast. He's been low and down all day, doesn't want to talk to any of us, and it's been a real struggle to get him on the podcast because obviously he's lost someone very dear to him this week. But I'll introduce some of the others here first on the podcast before we go over to Mucky. Tom, I know you've been, you know, Mucky's your bro. He's your right-hand man. You know, what's been going on with Mucky? Talk to us. Have you been able to talk him out of, like, I don't know. It feels like he's quitting on the podcast to me.
I haven't actually talked to him, but there's a really fun game I wanted to play quickly, if you don't mind. So it's Guess Who. So I'm the safest player in the game. I have the best chances of winning by a country mile. And Mucky has a body pillow with my face on it. Who am I? Anyone in chat? Anyone?
It's so hard. I mean, listen, Ferris is feeling sorry for Mucky. He tried. He tried to keep her in the game. But it's been tough.
If you had said a body pillow with Mucky's face on it, I would have said me.
Right? Oh, that's when it was...
Yeah.
You backstab me, Kahuna. I don't acknowledge you.
You're not, you've got the half Filipino side right, at least when it comes to that. What a week to talk about here. Kahuna, welcome to the podcast. How have you been?
Thank you, sir. Very good, very good. I mean, this freaking crazy ride that is Australian Survivor keeps on going. Like I thought of a weird analogy this week, and I'm going to see, just run it past you guys. Maybe I'm just thinking weird, but I was watching it. I'm like, this is so entertaining. This is so amazing. But when I look at some of the moves, I'm just like, oh, it doesn't look quite right. Some of them, I'm like, why do you do it? But I'm still entertained. And I was like, it's kind of like when you see a really cool, like, AI picture. And it's like, that looks amazing. AI is so cool. Wait, look at his hand. Like, you go, this looks amazing. I'm entertained, but there's some of the moves. I'm like, what is happening? It's so crazy. Like, an out there.
I can't wait to talk
about
it.
But I am thoroughly entertained. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about it. I think there was so many different levels of gameplay happening here this week. We've introduced Tom. We've introduced Kahuna. Let's go over to Mucky and see if he's still here. Mucky, have you decided to join the podcast or are you still in mourning, my friend? Talk to us. Everybody is waiting.
I am in mourning.
Whoa. Candles. A tie. Mucky, I've never seen you in a tie before, mate.
It has been a really sad week. You know, I said last week that I picked Eileen as my winner pick. I chose that from week one.
Kiss of death.
And then I said last week that Jaden's my dark horse to win. They go out back to back, and I just don't know how to process it. And I feel like I needed to do something. You know, as an actor, director, I've gone to film school. I was a coach for improvised acting. I've won awards for my films. I've done great performances.
Like Ferris and like Raymond, right? You're like them.
Yeah, except I've won actual awards. And I needed a way to process my emotions, and being such a creative, genius person, I hope you don't mind, but there's something I'd like to share with our audience today.
Listen, audience, I apologize in advance for what is about to happen. We've been trying to talk Mucky off the ledge, but here it comes. Mucky, let us know what's on your mind, mate. Talk to us.
I'm so ready.
What's on my mind? It's Eileen. And, you know, when I was a kid, I learned how to play the recorder, and the skills have always stuck with me through some really hard times, all the way to present day. So I hope you don't mind. I have a song I'd like to play.
All right, go for it, mate.
Oh, I live. Oh, Eileen, why'd you have to go? No, Eileen! Where have you gone? Why did you have to go? And that is it.
Once again, everybody, apologies. Mucky needed to get this out of his system. And do you feel better, mate? Do you feel better?
It's, as I said, it's been a tough week. But after...
No, but he's so you don't understand, happy. Brendan, you don't understand. He's got years of experience in the arts.
I do. As I said, with years of experience, I think this is not my take. Well, allow me to process.
Listen, this is why. Can I just say, this is why Tom would be the best Survivor player out of all of us. While Mucky distracted everybody, he was out looking for an idol. While we listen to that, you know, so like we got distracted, Kahuna. Tom's got the new advantage or the idol in the game. He is safe. He cannot be voted out of the podcast for next week.
Well, I got to say, whatever acting Ferris may have put on, laying it on thick, and all Mucky has to do for this advantage that Ray had is that. Go out, play, bring a recorder as your luxury item that they used to have in the early 2000s on Survivor. You bring a recorder, you sing a song, you get unanimous votes. 100% everyone's voting to get send you home, man. You got it. You solved it. They can actually use the twist again. Mucky just has to do it.
I just have to be my normal self, and any twist like that will work perfectly fine.
100%. You're a rebel like Raymond, mate. Like, you know, it will just fall in your lap.
I may act like a rebel, but I'm a titan by heart, you know, and I process my heart.
My favorite thing is that. My favorite thing is Mucky has to do the rest of the podcast like that.
He's committed
the entire time.
Listen, I don't know how to segue from this. This has been strange, to put it nicely. But you know, let's move into actually getting on with the show. Let's say hello to a few people here. We've got Loyal in the live. Andre Lee coming in with the $10 New Zealand. Thank you so much. Saying Survivor Turkey All-Stars 2024 starter turbo for the win. This win will make him the first three-time Survivor winner of all time. Obviously, Turbo also is a challenge winner, and one of the few people in the world that have won Survivor more than once. So I'd love to see someone actually claim a third title. So go Turbo. Is it Turaki? What's his last name?
Turabi.
Turabi. Oh, no. There we go.
Turabi. Yeah.
Let's go Turbo. Andre Lee says, bingo. Ferris says, voila. Somebody took out my name. We also have Christoph here in the live saying, let's not sleep on Riri, who yet again buried her alliance. We've got Beefless Cow here saying, Ray Mint. So, another supporter there, but I am worried for Ray Mint.
I thought that was the Kirby Raymond.
Sorry?
When Raymond flipped, she went, when Raymond flipped, Kirby went, Raymond.
True. I thought it was a chair, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's when he did his own thing. Who else do we have here in the live? We've got Ferris in the live. We've got Mark. Welcome back, Mark. Always good to have you here. Gabe's in the live. Says it's taking time because Chris and Kuna are trying to cheer Mucky up about Aileen. Tom is smiling a bit. Yeah, Tom just loves it when other people cries. You know, what can I say?
Especially me.
Don't make me leave again.
Yeah. Yeah. Furry Tiger Wolf says, hello, everyone. Really loving this season. Can't wait to hear you all break it down. Sneaky Steve, he's forgotten Sneaky Steve. I didn't hear him put in the same amount of effort when Sneaky Steve got voted out. There was a Sneaky Steve song, but he didn't cry for Sneaky Steve.
I mean, that's because I watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey three times and Cocaine Bear, right? So eventually I cheered myself up through all the tears. So.
Rachel is sending love your way.
Thank you, Rachel.
Findlestick saying my dog is howling as well. Mucky is one with the dogs tonight when it comes to that. But hey, what a week. What an absolute cracker of a week. We start this week off. And you know, Kuna, I've been on the Kirby watch for a while now, but sometimes I feel like I come into the podcast and I'm like, I feel like Kirby's playing an exceptional game. She's really good at this game. She's got good reads. And then people have kind of committed to it with me, but I feel like I've been the most pro Kirby on the podcast when it comes to, because a lot of the times we've had people saying, oh no, she's not that great. She's making a lot of mistakes. But if there was a week that potentially someone had a big, big week, I feel like Kirby, right off the rip here in this first episode, targeting Aileen, you know, like I know Mucky would forever, like Kirby will forever be a swear word in his household. But for us neutral fans that have got no skin in the game, Kona, how good was it to see Kirby's gameplay and her read? Because we spoke about the players that had a chance to win the season, and she was kind of down the pecking order with Ferris having so many of his soldiers. I felt like this was a Kirby heavy week, and it again showed, in my opinion, I know Ferris is in the podcast and he's probably going to come on and tell me how wrong I was. I feel like she was a couple of steps ahead of Ferris this week in regards to removing Aileen, knowing that that would get them closer together and there would be less options for Ferris not to work with her in the future, which to me seemed like it was a great move this week. Do you agree that Kirby just off the rip making this move on Aileen? What a move, and how well did this play out for her this week?
1,000%. Like, for me, it was one of those things where, like, we saw Caroline essentially do the same move. Mark is getting too close to someone else. There's a wedge. Kirby used the word wedge. Caroline didn't, but took the same thing, but it didn't play out. Like, it went the way it probably should have gone. And Kirby, in this instance, when she did that, it's like, you know when the really bad player takes the shot, like from three-pointer, and you go, no, 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 no. Oh, yes. Like, and it just happened to go in. In my head, I was like, that's no, don't do that. It's too early. The margins are too thin. You haven't got the numbers solidified that much on the Titans just yet. And then Ferris goes, great move. Really solidified us. He wants to work even closer. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
that's how did this work out so well?
Yeah. And I think what it says to me is that Kirby is a phenomenal social player, and she made the read that even if she did take out Aileen, she could bring Ferris back, and it wasn't going to be the toxic end like to that relationship. It actually made it stronger, whether through desperation, because, you know, by cutting Aileen out, he's literally got no one else left that he can really confide in like that, and makes her number one, and almost like a relationship of codependence, because they're both running out of numbers, so they need each other in that instance. So it actually worked out really well and smart, even though at first I was like, don't, like, you can't hurt him again. The dude's done nothing wrong, and he gets backstabbed so much.
I was going to bring that up, and Rachel here says Kirby has the social charisma to pull it off. And throughout this week, like, I've been so impressed by Kirby's game throughout this week and how she's managed her social relationships, how people outside of her alliance, like a Jaden, wants to come and work with her, a Kitty wants to come and work with her. She's bringing in these numbers from the outside, and it gives her options in the game, potentially extra flexibility to make moves and do things within the game, which is great to see. Just phenomenal, I guess, social gameplay and a read here. Tom, you've been very slow to give Kirby praise this season. Like, I feel like you've been the toughest one for Kirby to convince that she is a top-tier player. Even you have to admit, after this week, seeing how she performed, taking out Aileen at this moment, getting herself up the pecking order with Ferris, she's making some great moves. And if we're going to look at a week that potentially could have set her up to win this season, this has got to be that week, right?
I mean, yes, we could talk about that, or we could address the fact that Ferris wants me in his alliance. You know, he doesn't want sad simps like Mucky. He wants strong alpha males like Tom, obviously.
That's why him and Alex gets along so well, right, Tom?
Oh, 100%. And Gabe saying Ferris doesn't want to work with Tom because he will only target the women, that means Ferris is safe, you know? Like, as long as he's got a beard that thick, I'm not voting him out.
Great way to dodge the question, by the way, Tom. I love your, like, you would do well in tribal council in front of JLP, the way you deflect.
Thank you, Chris. And can I say, you're looking really handsome today, you know?
All right. Fair enough. Mucky, your opinion, Tom, about Kirby.
Did your ass get jealous of the amount of shit your mouth talks?
No, but my ass has had plenty of shit lately as well.
Let Tom go. Like, he's just in a good mood tonight. He doesn't want to ruin the vibes, you know. We'll let him go. He doesn't have to be a Kirby fan this week. We'll try and turn him into one next week. Mucky, what's your thoughts here? Like, you know, is Kirby going to be that person for you if you were to go and play Survivor and they come calling. Survivor Rivals is finally on. Would you want to be opposite Kirby to take her out for doing Aileen dirty this season? Is that the season you're hoping for now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually posted a meme, actually. It was the one of where Darth Vader finally gets his suit put on, and he does that no meme. And in the meme, I said, you know, Kirby and Mark plotting Aileen's downfall, and Kirby responded it going, Mark, with a question mark. Like, you know, so there's that rivalry there. I'm miscrediting her moves. So, yeah, I would go toe-to-toe with Kirby easily.
I reckon she'll mop the floor with you in every single capacity if you had to go up against her. Like, you're choosing some really top-tier legendary players as, like, your rivals in the game, you know? So I don't know if I would go up against Kirby. I feel like it would go down as well as the song did in the beginning of this, you know?
Amazingly. But on a serious note, yeah, she's playing really well. And I know a while ago we talked about how Ferris is kind of like Tony, you know, with like the idols and stuff like that. But
for those who don't know, Brendan is
Australian
Survivor memes.
But I feel like Kirby is like the Kageyan Tony. Like when she pulled this move on Aileen, I was half expecting Ferris to be like, you know, I've got an idol, Alex has got an idol, Raymond's got this advantage, we're all good to go to officially take out Kirby, because she's gone against him so many times when he's tried to work with her. Like, yeah. It was me personally.
Plus, if she sits next to him, she can say, I outsmarted Ferris twice in the game so far. Like, twice out his closest person. So at some point, Ferris will have to take her out. I can't see him sitting next to her with her social game and winning at this stage. Like, he has to take her out.
But just like Kageyama Tony, like, when she took out Aileen, I thought that was genuinely a dumb move. But with how she was able to bounce back from that and is still in control, it was just magnificent. Like, I was shocked. I really was. And so, yeah, she's blowing me away this season. But it's kind of a thing where it's like, at the moment, you're like, wow, that's such a stupid move. But then she fully recovers from it by the next episode. It's just,
there's definitely conversations that happen up front here where I think a few people even said here in the live that there's probably conversations that were had between the likes of a Ferris and a Kirby prior to this, where they said, well, listen, we would work together. The wedge is Aileen. Aileen doesn't trust you, don't want to work with you. There's clearly certain conversations we didn't hear prior to this, because he was more than willing to forgive Kirby for this move and work with her, where it was less forgiving on Alex in the next episode. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we get into it. But prior to moving on to that, let's talk about the auction. Something fun, Tom. I'm not going to give you the hard-hitting questions tonight. You know,
Thank you. You know,
I feel generous. So what did you think of the auction? Did you like the auction? Were you happy to see it back? I mean, we get starved of a great auction for most of the US seasons. And even this season already, Jeff has said, the auction's not coming back.
Yeah, because apparently it's too hard. Like the budget restraints of making a chocolate thick shake, it's too hard, you know?
Yeah,
it's way too hard. That's double ice cream, the thick shake, double ice cream.
JLP got a sink, you know, a working sink.
Yeah, or the fact that they now can game the system and just leave their money. Like, I feel like some players this season did. Like, I noticed Mark, for instance, big fan of Survivor, didn't actually bid on anything. He had all his money so that there would potentially be an item he could bid on, probably for an advantage. But Australian Survivor has passed like that obstacle a few seasons ago, where they just add it into an actual rewards. So you don't know which you have to bid on the rewards because it's random. You don't know which one's going to have an advantage in it. And Raymond, who I thought made the worst decision for $400 and popcorn, ends up getting the biggest advantage here.
Are you serious? The second I saw that popcorn, I'm like, advantage right there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why everyone wasn't bidding on that. But I think I'd be a bit like Tarzan from One World. I know he ended up spending his money on a love letter. Lame. But I'd keep the money, you know. $500 in the bank, yes please.
I fell for you, brother. Like, when you were telling fresh JLP though. I loved it when he was like, JLP, don't talk to me right now. Like, you know, I don't even want to engage in this conversation. It was real for him, you know. Like, JLP, like, I bet you, like, nothing that Kirby did in this game against Ferris hurt as much as JLP absolutely backstabbing him in this moment on this auction when he's starving. I would have been furious as well if that is the reward I would have gotten. But, you know, for the smiling assassin, you need to look after that smile. It's all that. So, you know, ultimately, I feel like, you know, I was with Ferris as well. I felt for him because the only thing I heard him say throughout this whole time was, I want a steak. And like, that would be me if I'm out there. I'm like, the thing, being a South African, like, we grew up on, like, red meat and steak, you know? So give me steak and potatoes or, like, some, you know, good veg with it. That is what I would be craving if I'm out there. And unfortunately, it didn't go the way of Ferris is here. And the other really fun part here was JLP really taking part, Kahuna, in the auction, you know, getting Valeria's beer, like taking the beer off her and like having a bit of a bite of the pizza. Like he was getting very friendly. Pizza, with
I would actually be pissed at JLP. Like, bro, like just go to freaking craft services. Your catering truck is around, like your tables are around the corner. I know they are. Like, leave our food alone, man. JLP's the best for it, but as a player, when I just bought $400 worth of popcorn, like, or, you know, whatever the pizza is, like, bro, don't touch the pizza. Leave it alone.
But what's one item that you guys would have gone full 500 for if it was that?
I'm telling you, that's $500 for sitting down, you know? That's like...
You're keeping it.
If you make me spend that money, you got to give me the whole. You got to throw everything at me. I'm not easy like Ferris, clearly.
Shots fired. That's your man. He's just saying he'd work with you. And you, like, Tom's just a very, like, you know, he's honestly, I feel like Tom's got like this very old man soul inside of him. Like, kids, get off my lawn. That is just like Tom's natural. Like, I don't know. It's like how you operate.
Hey, I love Ferris. There's this bit of banter between long lost friends, you know, you wouldn't understand.
Right. Yeah. Oh, okay. Got you. Mark says, if you watch the voting confessional from Sunday's episode, Alex talks about the advantage I won and the unseen on TV show, what Alex won, letters from home. Okay. So there were some extra things there. So that makes me wonder if there is an advantage that was won and it didn't make the show, if it was actually going to get played or, you know, why we didn't see it. I don't follow a lot of the extras on it because normally I catch up on the episodes a little bit later than most. Have any of you caught this bit here that Mark's talking about?
No, yeah. I've been too busy crying.
Tom?
Yeah, no, I watched it. It was pretty stock standard, like Letters from Home. It wasn't anything special. Jaden was really nice because, you know, he like the whole time you just see him like crying while everyone else is reading their stuff, and then he's talking about his mom, and it's so wholesome. But yeah, they don't really like go super deep into anyone's like sob stories or anything. It was pretty run of the mill. But I don't know what Mark's referring to, like in terms of what he won. You're a sad simp, Mucky. Get out of here. Okay?
I would have sung the song for you, Ferris. What on earth?
I'm an actual professional musician, Mucky. Can't write a song to save your life.
How many albums have you released, Tom?
How many recorder albums have you released?
That's not what's on trial.
You're on trial, mate.
We're in the studio. Okay, stop. Play nice. What an auction. A few people here did say that they were surprised that not too many people did bid on the popcorn because normally advantages or idols are usually buried in the popcorn or the cookies. So clearly I was behind the eight ball, not noticing that myself. I was going into it pretty, innocent mind. I feel like it's because I watched the previous auction on Survivor US in season 45 and there was nothing, basically.
I thought it was going to be I'm waiting for the advantage to finally be in the palmy. La Palma, but yeah, I'm waiting for that. I was like, and that was a bargain, by the way. I think someone got it for 120, Val got it for $120 something for a chicken farmer with a beer. Like, come on, bro. Like, they let that one go. And I swear, I think one day the chicken farmer is going to have an advantage. It's better than popcorn.
You're probably going to lose, like, you know, you're going to have to be careful how you bite into that chicken farmer, like almost like winner, you know, losing a tooth earlier in the season to get his idol.
It's not
as
ham,
well
it's parchment. Instead of the ham, they're just. There's a layer of tomato sauce and melted cheese on parchment.
Yeah. Well, back at camp, you know, Ferris is kind. He hands out mints to everyone. You know, it's obviously, it's only that much mints you can probably have while you're out on the island. The one thing, I didn't answer the question, the one thing I would probably lose like $500 over if I was out there is just like a good, like Aussie breakfast or something, like bacon, scrambled egg, and like an iced latte, like coffee. That is my weakness. Oh. If you give me nice coffee out there, I'm like an addict for caffeine, and I'm sure my body would be deprived if I'm out there. So that would be the thing I would probably like go all in with my money. But yeah, moving back to camp here, Raymond's got the advantage. First thing I wrote down when I heard about the advantage, this is not an advantage. Like, if he's going to go up against people who actually play this game strategically and smart, there's so many ways for this advantage to not go correctly. And I was shocked. Yeah, I was just absolutely shocked that it ended up working out for him, which, you know, it's probably a mixture of the acting skills that Ferris and Raymond had in this moment. But to me, I don't care. Like, I was like with Valeria through this. I'm like, it can't be that easy. At least throw one vote on someone else. Or, you know, even if you tell your allies about this, do you fully trust one person? Like, I mean, imagine us four in an alliance, and the person who's the most like Raymond in between the four of us is Mucky, right? By a country shot, he doesn't just look like him.
Good acting skills, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a mind like Raymond's for the game, right? So if Raymond suddenly or Mucky gets this advantage and comes to us and says, "I've got the sole vote in the game," there's no way in hell I'm letting Mucky have the sole vote, because he's probably voting me out because he just wants to prove it. I know.
I actually would. like straight up.
Then now it won't work, Mucky. You just said that, and now it's not going to work.
Yeah, well, wait, maybe it's at the double bluff. No, I think what? I think what would have made this advantage so much more funnier is if he did vote out Ferris or Kirby. Oh, like, that's something that I was kind of hoping for. Like, I thought that would be so funny. But
oh, you're definitely out of Ferris's alliance now, Mucky.
I mean, it would just be funny. What's wrong with taking the purse? Voting someone up because it'd be funny.
He's picking fights with Kirby tonight. He's picking fights with Ferris. Like, when fans was his favorites happen, Mucky, if you're on that beach, I'm telling you now, they know who to come for first.
Well, I'm like the Pied Piper, right? I'll be singing and dancing my way through, and they'll be following me around as I win.
Mucky's like a poor man's Muhammad Ali, you know, like trying to dodge bob and weave.
Pied Piper was just followed by rats, dude. Like, he just... Like, don't.
Yeah. No,
and he used them to get kids. So calm down.
Hey. You know, if that helps me win 500,000, helps me win 500,000. All right. Wait. That sounded really bad. I didn't mean it like that. I just mean like winning.
Gabe's got it out for you, man. I don't know, Tom. Like, Gabe, every single time, mate.
Wait, Gabe doesn't like me? No.
My gosh.
I'm curious if Mucky's Raymond and what Chris is Ferris, between Kahuna and myself, who's Eileen and who's Kirby?
I mean, I would date the shit out of Kahuna. So I'd say Kahuna's Eileen.
Yeah, I got Filipina.
I meant Rihanna. Sorry, Rihanna and Kirby. I forgot Eileen's already dead by this point.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
that would have been something, Ferris. That would have been something. Just clearly, Ferris and Raymond has this like trust in each other. Like, you have to have massive trust in the person that you're gonna basically allow to run the vote, you know, in this moment. And especially after Raymond went rogue on the previous vote to make his own move, to do his own vote. This season has been insane. Like, how people have just accepted that there's this fluidity in the game and we can work with anyone. Like, I think someone put out on Twitter not that long ago, may even have been Shannon, that said that there is no two people that have voted to give on every single vote now left in the game. Every single person left in the game at some point have been on opposite sides of a vote, which to me is insane. Like, that we're even sitting in a position like this in this season, Kuna.
Not one alliance has remained strong, like between two people, let alone more than two, like that. That's crazy. For the Raymond thing, it was such a big, like, I feel like it's going to be a memorable, iconic moment. But do you think it was the right thing? Because I don't like that. I didn't like it. I didn't like the way he did it. I don't necessarily. I think it's a good TV moment. Sorry?
But you mean you didn't like it because he played on their remote? and their emotions, or
no? Well, there is that, and I think in isolation, it's like a really cool thing. But it feels weird when we came off of Scott like 2 weeks ago, like in the contrast of it. But one good thing, I guess, that we can say is that like these people passed the test. Like as far as like you wait for them to pause, and someone comes and goes, "This was what would you do? Would you be an asshole to someone who's like struggling mentally out on the island, or would you actually give them what they want and help them?" And unfortunately, they got, you know, done
I'd
for
be
it.
An asshole.
But they passed the human test, which is a good thing for these people. Like, you know,
Chris, it was insane. To me, it's insane. You're playing for $500,000. One person is quitting, but don't want to leave the game, but they're mentally out of the game. I'm like, I'm keeping this person in the game as long as I can. They're a shield for me.
Yeah.
Let them quit on their own. I'm not giving them the easy out by voting them out. They have to quit.
Wow.
100%. 100%.
You're not getting the jury then. You don't get the jury. You don't get the jury. That Mark called that,
like,
that right?
Well, I wouldn't announce it to everybody. I'd be like, yeah, I'll give him what he wants, and then I just won't vote that way. Like, I'm not giving anybody actually. They don't need to know where my vote's going. I can write
the reason why I didn't
my
like
right
it.
I'm writing my
the reason why I didn't like it is, as you said, he blew up his alliance the night before, right?
Yeah.
And got out Jaden, which is potentially really dangerous, except you said it came back. Like, for some reason this season, no one cares about getting backstabbed. They'll come back to you immediately, not even like three episodes later. So, like, he backstabbed his alliance, which could have gone horribly, to then only take out Val, who was exactly who they wanted the night before anyway. Like, he did all of that, which could have been absolutely disastrous, the most risky advantage in the game ever, just to do exactly what his alliance wanted the night before he backstabbed them. Like,
yeah. And also, I will admit one thing. I will admit one thing. I'm being like, oh, I would never do that. But I've also never played the game, right? So if I've played the game and I've like lived with this person, and there's an element of like this brotherhood that, because it's like I've said a few times before, like I think very few of us understand that it's almost for them like they're going to like army camp or something, and they're bonding on a different level that we can't understand. They're starving together, relying on each other for body heat in the evening and all that kind of stuff. There's clearly like some sort of a bond that happens there that's easy for us to look at the side and say, oh, you know, I wouldn't, because I would like to believe I'd be pretty cold-hearted in that moment and say, if one person's going to take themselves out of the game, that means that I can vote someone else out tonight. They quit tomorrow. That's two places closer to the end for me. That's the analytical part of my mind thinking that way. But that's taken the emotion out of it, playing with these people, having had the Scott situation happen a couple of votes ago, which definitely would have played in their mind. But that's also where I would have questioned why in that moment JLP didn't treat Raymond the same way he did Scott. Like, he didn't say to him, well, why did we vote? Like, if you want to go, go. So there would be a part of me that would have been, yeah, he knows, but I would have been asking myself, why is he not treating this the same? Something doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? Like, that's where you have to, that's where you have to like see what the producers want in this moment. Like, clearly something's at play. Otherwise, why is it two different scenarios here? Maybe they're just that desperate to keep numbers in the game. In any case, maybe I'm overthinking this. I like Andre Lee's question though. He says, Chris, Mucky, Kahuna, and Tom, how would you have played Raymond's advantage? We know Mucky would have played it exactly the same, because Raymond and Mucky is basically the same person, right?
Actually, I would have done something differently.
Oh, really? So rebellious of you.
Yeah, it's so even rebellious of Raymond. Me that I would have, you know, because unfortunately not a lot of people feel that sorry for me a lot of time. They just seem to laugh at me. So I feel like if I tried to pull a, like, if I was like, oh, I'm so sick, I want to quit the game, no one would really care. But
shut up, Mucky.
Yeah, shut up, Mucky. Grow the hell up.
Riddance, we don't have to listen to him singing at my time at the camp.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, something that I have sort of picked up on is that I'm great at being an asshole, apparently, and really annoying. So I feel like I'll just have to play those cards, where it's like people would want to vote me out because I'm kind of an ass, but people would also want to vote me out.
Are you trying to, like, take Tom's spot?
Well, for being annoying, yeah.
Being an asshole. I thought that's Tom's thing for when he goes on to Survivor.
Very charming.
No, but I feel like there's, like, I see the whole conversation about Scott, right? I really do. But I feel like there's not many ways to actually play this advantage. And I feel like that was probably the best way to do it without really severely damaging.
I feel like he damaged himself at the end, because of playing the emotional card. Like, I don't think there's anyway Raymond gets to the end and gets the respect from the jury, from the people that he manipulated in this way. I like could be Caroline? Wrong. He would have had, imagine a Caroline. He would have had, yeah, he would have had Ferris's respect, but Ferris isn't enough to give him the win. So I feel like there's a lot of other people who will look at this move as pretty slimy at the end.
I think drawing the votes was the best way he could have done it. I think the only issue for me is that for it to work, Ferris had to do so much heavy lifting to the point where he was able to smile at JLP in the camera and go, how about supporting actor? You know what I mean? Like he gets to get credit. In fact, he probably gets more because Raymond's acting was go lie in the sand and say nothing for all day. You know what I mean? Like, whereas Ferris is like laying the trap and actually putting the acting in, he can claim that, right? And then Raymond can only say, I voted for the person they wanted me to vote for anyway. So Ferris can again go, I got Raymond to do my vote for me while acting like, while doing the most riskiest advantage in the history of Survivor.
Yeah.
And he did my move for me. The person that I wanted out because she was saying I'm a horrible leader and blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
Raymond did all
there's
the
so
work
many ways.
To then, yeah.
There's so many
take
ways
out Mark. Take out, like maybe not Kirby because she's on your side. You need the numbers, but take out Mark or don't pick their pick, you know?
Yeah. I feel like there's some people in a moment where this was such a big bombastic move that I think is going to blow back on Raymond at some point. If he's lucky enough to get to the end, I would want to take him to the end just based off this move to a certain degree, because I feel like people will have hurt feelings at the end because of how he did it. But for me, I think the biggest move was Kirby's once again in that tribal council. And she is so good at just underplaying her game. Like, she moves in the shadows, and the fact that she even, like, how she tried to sneak her immunity, her individual immunity idol over to or necklace I should say to Curb to Re in the game, I thought was amazing, to be honest. We've got some background noise from someone, I'm not sure who that is.
I think that was me.
Okay. No, you're good. So yeah, so even just the fact that she took the necklace off and gave it to Rhee, and you know, JLP had to spot it. She didn't make a lot of people would feel like they need to announce their moves, is what I'm trying to say. Kirby is not announcing her moves, but I tell you what, she is like making a note of every little thing that she's doing in this game. And if she gets to a final with her social game and the moves that she's making, like keeping Rhee safe in this moment, because the right move for Ray would have been to take out someone like Rhee, who's a challenge beast, someone that's very close to Kirby. It would draw Kirby in even closer with them moving forward in the game. I thought it was a great move, Tom, once again. And I'm coming back to you for the Kirby one here. And this time, you're going to have to answer it, mate. You can't dodge it again.
Have you lost weight, Chris? Like, you're looking so good right now.
I'm glad you noticed. You know, I've been lifting a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Also, Ferris said, apparently Raymond's in the chat. I don't know if Guantanamo Ray is actually Ray, but like, if so.
Oh, here we go.
It was an okay move. I would have been able to do
that. Guantanamo like Ray is such a great name, but
that's talking about pizza? Yeah.
No, Ray, we're holding him accountable this time. He keeps dodging every time I talk about Kirby's game. I cannot get a clear answer from Tom. Again, like I said, Kirby playing some, I feel like she played a good game in the shadows here, and she had all the knowledge at this moment as well.
I actually thought, Kirby played a really great round this week. I think she was the best player this week. But honestly, Chris,
flip that.
The way you talk about Kirby is a bit more heart eye emojis than Mucky talks about Eileen. That's all I'm saying.
Really? Right, listen, yeah, Kirby is a good looking woman. So I mean, what can I say? You know, but it's her charm. It's the smile. It's the triple C's, collective approach. I know. I've got no chance. I know, mate. You know, but you know, yeah, like I said,
maybe the wrong equipment.
Game admires game is what I'm going to say. I feel like she's playing a good game.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm coming up for is because Ferris is getting a lot of love, rightfully so, because he's an entertaining character. He's good at the confessionals. He brings a lot to the show. And without someone like a Ferris, without someone like a Mark, who's been very entertaining characters to watch this season would fall flat. There's been times where Kirby isn't necessarily the showman or the showwoman that they are, but she's doing a lot behind the scenes. So I feel like it should be called out and recognized when it's happening, Kona.
Yeah, I mean, The weird thing is, right, like, I'm going to make an awkward comparison, and it's not based on personality type, but just effect on the game, is someone that we mentioned before in your favorite is Toni from Cagayan, is that she's a first-time player that is absolutely swinging for the fences and sometimes maybe ill-advised, sometimes a little bit too early on pulling the trigger here, and it's like going, oh, you probably could have been safer here, but she's riding the edge of, like, sanity in a game, kind of like Toni did, but she's just not crazy, right? She's not out there, and the personality doesn't match, but the game is very, like, bombastic and sometimes crazy, sometimes missing, but it is entertaining the whole way and kind of, at the moment, dominating a bit, you know what I mean? Like, it's really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, like, to see her play this game knowing, I could be wrong here, but I don't believe she was the biggest fan coming into the game. So she also had to learn the game. Like, even when you say you don't respect some of her moves in the game, I feel like the only real illogical move maybe was at the beginning of the game when she changed her vote without telling anybody when she orchestrated the vote. But then since then, it's so long ago, I don't think she's done much wrong since then. In fact, she's had a lot of, like, obstacles to overcome, losing, like, you know, Chaos Kelly early on, who didn't want to continue to be an Alliance member, then losing someone like Scott in the game, which I think weakened her dramatically in the game. Like, she's had some obstacles to work with throughout this time as well. Ferris says, I think we're all in awe with Kirby. Some of us just lie to ourselves. Tell him, Ferris. Like, I feel like some people are, like, you know, like, making it out like I'm the only fanboy here, but game's got a recognized game. Rachel's saying, Master of the Whispers, Mark bringing Titans back from the brink, and literal whispers in the Ray's ear at Tribal. We kind of skipped over a little bit of, obviously, you know, the move was made against Eileen. She's out of the game. But then at that point, what did we think? And it's so weird talking about Ferris's game while he's in the live. So Ferris, again, like, you know, it's all love. I just want to understand what happened between Alex and Ferris, because he goes in this conversation straight afterwards. There's this new Waterwell talk that is happening, and Alex is not a part of it. And the way that the conversation happens at the end, when Alex comes to Ferris and he's like, you know, you kind of left me hanging, bro. And he's like, your feelings doesn't matter. It's kind of like how it came across on the edit. It kind of made Alex go in a different direction. To me, how that all happened, I feel like there's some flaws in this game, Tom, there, when you're looking at someone like Ferris losing someone like Alex, who he's invested so much time into. He even helped him find an idol. And he kind of allows for Alex to go off to the other side here with Titans. Like, are we missing some conversations? Were you able to keep on top of what was happening here? Because it felt like he lost a valuable number at this stage in the game.
Yeah, I think there were some conversations not shown, because Alex has had a bit of a Dodo edit the entire season, so it makes perfect sense. Like, it makes perfect sense why they would show him flipping just because he wasn't in one conversation, because that makes him look like more of a Dodo. So I definitely think, yeah, and I think Ferris is trying to hint, yeah, there's definitely some more.
Some reasons. Yeah, so we can only comment. Good. We can only comment on the edit. On the edit, it looked strange to us. Like, we're like, why did this happen? Why was he so standoffish? And even the argument here at Tribal Council, where Alex was saying, you know, your ass must be jealous of your mouth because of all the shit that you're talking. You know, like, even this whole conversation between floaters. I love Kirby, like I've said a few times, and Ferris, but it felt harsh on Alex. Like, I don't understand why, and this is where on the podcast Ferris will be able to explain this to us, why Alex's game was seen as different as theirs when he was looking at options in the game, you know?
I mean, I think the ask comment has been misinterpreted. Ferris has a very great smile, and I haven't seen many good ass shots of his. So maybe Alex was just implying that he's got a nice better ass face than a better than an ass, you know? Like, his ass is jealous because Ferris smiles so
that's
nice.
A stretch.
I think that's what he meant, you know?
Yeah. What I'm jealous of with Ferris is, like, I feel like Ferris needs to let us know, do they have, like, razors or something on the show? Because, like, he's got no neck hair at all. Like, it seems perfectly like he's gone to a barber and he's keeping that beard in shape. Like, it's, how does he, like, he needs to tell us when he comes on the podcast, what is his island secret? Because if I'm going out there, I'm going to have the neck hair and everything. Like, it's going to be scruffy.
I'm a charmer. What can I say?
Yeah, it's just natural for us, man.
Yeah, Ferris has got a naturally good beard, man. I'm jealous of that beard.
I think you can only have so much hair on your body. Like, it all just concentrates here and nowhere else, you know?
Yeah, oh, Brendan, you know what I'm talking about. Like, do they get razors out there to, like, keep the beard in
conspiracy.
Shape?
Conspiracy.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
I've got a theory if you guys would like to hear it.
All right, go for it.
All right, awesome. So, kind of throughout here this season, there's always been a bit of a tension between Ferris and Alex, right? They're on opposing sides at the start. You know, Alex, you know, kind of caught Ferris with his pants down with the crate and the idol, right? And then at one point, Ferris wanted Alex gone, but then Alex was in working with Ferris. And then during the tribe stop, Ferris tried to help Alex find the idol, but, you know, he seemed quite frustrated to do so. I think Ferris is just really jealous of Alex's budgie smugglers. How Ty and Pink they are.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I think Ferris wants Alex gone so that he can stride around.
I mean, he's only human.
Yeah, exactly.
With the budgie smugglers, the challenge where they had to hang upside down.
That was dangerous.
I thought something was going to happen with Alex, you know, like he might have to pull out of the challenge because something might pull out of his pants, you know, and like, geez Louise.
They would have blurred it. They would have blurred it. Like, it would be forever engraved in everybody else's minds who are out there, but I'm sure we would have been saved.
But what do you do?
Sorry, my line, like, when you were talking about the Alex, how quickly he turned on him, like, I was Ferris in that moment when he goes, "What are you, my wife?" Like, it was just so needy. And I'm like, dude, chill. Like, I gave you an idol. We've done it. We're here. Like, we've got this now. You just don't panic. Don't freak out. And it sucks that, like, someone, I would feel, like, so frustrated that someone that you know, like, Tom said he's getting a bit of a Dodo edit, but I can tell from Alex knows the game, right? He's a fan of it. He's a teacher. He's smart enough to just be like, man, like, why do I have to hold your hand to the point of... Like, it would have been so frustrating. Just chill. We got this. Look around you. Look at the numbers. And then we're cruising. Like, he's top three, top four. Probably top three because he's not, you know, first one's probably turn on Kirby at some point, right?
Yeah. No, good points raised there. I do want to talk a little bit about the person who actually got voted out in this episode because we had a long, someone asked if earlier on if Mucky is in mourning. Yes, he is in mourning. That's why he's sitting there in all black. With the candles for Aileen. And we spoke about Aileen. If you do want to listen to the song at the beginning, rewind back to the beginning of the podcast. We definitely won't be doing it again. We definitely won't be doing it again, but you can go listen to that. It's for everyone going to be on the Spotify soon.
All I got to say, Chris, is that before we went live, you were saying, no, people are going to drop out, but we've actually doubled the amount of people that were watching since the start, so you are welcome.
Yeah, because they waited to see that finish so that then they can join.
Now, they heard I was doing it, and then they went on.
See, even Rachel, thank you. Like, Mucky sometimes, like, you know, like, we're those friends for Mucky that just tells him the truth, and sometimes you got to hear it, like, you know, from fellow friends like yourself, Rachel. Let him know. We don't want to rewind to that. But I was going to go in a direction here with Jaden. You know, obviously Jaden ended up getting voted out in the second episode here for the week. Prior to that, he got wind of the fact that he was going to get targeted because Kitty started leaking information. Again, phenomenal gameplay by Kirby to pull her in to a point where Kirby felt like she could work with Kitty in the game, and Kitty felt comfortable enough, which again shows that social game for me. Like, they never really worked prior to this, but you know, Jaden finds out that he's being targeted, and we saw Kahuna, a little bit of Jaden's spicy side here with Caroline getting really upset about things at camp. You know, like, we've seen, like, definitely Caroline's no angel herself. Like, she's constantly been sort of you know, the one that would do all the cooking and, you know, kind of would dictate how much portion of food everybody gets and stuff. But a very rare food fight, you know, over the food here on Australian Survivor, a little bit of spiciness. We don't get to see these things on Survivor US. And I feel like this is the stuff that really makes them sort of almost like human to us. You know, it's like we can relate. Absolutely. Like, having a fight. You know, if someone took Mucky's last chocky milk, you know, it'd be a similar situation.
I would go off. I mean,
it'd be a bloodbath. Yeah.
They would be dead. Like, they're not making it to tribal. They're going to be, you know, face down in the ocean. All right.
Sasquatch unleashed. yeah, that's it. Last week, we talked about Jaden's reaction to online. And then I also, like, and the fact that he took the revenge on Eden for Winner. And I'm like, I said it as a joke, but Jaden really is. He's just a sensitive soul, isn't he? For a big dude, he like,
yeah.
And I think he was in his own head about hearing his name for the first time. And, you know, people have said, like, I know former survivors have said, like, once you, like, Eden said it, once you hear your name come up, like, kind of logic goes out the window. And he kind of got in his feelings a little bit and took it out on Caroline. So, yeah, my boy Jaden, I love him, but he's a sensitive lad, which I kind of love. Like, he's not all just muscles, you know. He's got feelings in that big heart of his. So, and they were hurt by the fact that I don't think he was hurt by Caroline too much, to be honest with you. If someone said Lord Jaden generally, he'd probably just be like, hey, Shaylee. Like, he'd laugh it off. And whatever. But I think it was the fact that he heard his name as the potential vote, and he can't get angry at that because you're not supposed to know. So what can I get angry at? Lord Jaden. Like, you know, a little joke. And poor Caroline just playing the social game so poorly a lot of the times with Jacket Gate. She had the food thing with Jaden earlier in the season, but he's a lot hungrier now.
Yeah.
And he's been out there a lot longer, so it didn't fly as good.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it had anything to do with, like, the vote. I think, like, you know, both Jaden and I, we have great taste, and we both don't like Caroline. I mean, like, so I think...
I so badly, like, want to get Caroline on the podcast. Like, Ferris or Mark, if anybody is still here and listening to the podcast, can you reach out to Caroline? We need to get Caroline on the podcast so Tom can face her at some point, because he's been talking mad smack this whole season, and I actually feel like Caroline's probably the nicest lady outside of the game. So I feel like you need to face her.
I've got a question for Tom, actually.
Yeah, what?
Who do you hate more, Tara or Caroline?
Oh, Tara by a landslide. She's hopeless. No, but I was just say, I actually think Gabe's Caroline, honestly. Although I don't know, I didn't think Caroline is a Pokemon fan, so that's a bit of a curveball. No, but what I was going to say is, like, when I lived in Samoa for a little bit, and what I learned is, like, if you don't want to disrespect, like, a Samoan, like, I think he genuinely felt disrespected by Caroline when he's, like, clearly the provider. He was talking about earlier in the episode that he provides for the tribe, and I don't think Caroline does, like, a whole lot within that aspect of the camp. I mean, she yells at people for putting on jackets that don't even belong to her, but other than that, I don't know what she's good for. But yeah, so, like, if there's someone that I didn't really like at camp, like, critiquing me for the work that I'm doing, that they're doing literally nothing, like, I'd probably be a bit snappy. And, like, you know, like, I think the Lord Jaden thing was definitely, like, sarcastic. I don't think Caroline's a jokey person from what we've seen in the edit. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
On a serious note, I know I threw Caroline, like, I'd love to have a chat with her, but I feel like Caroline would probably be one of those people that would completely shut off from social media. Like, she probably wouldn't want to follow it, because Australian Survivor, if there's one thing Australian Survivor casual fans are not good at, it is when there are, like, women on the show that maybe have made some moves that have played pretty good. We saw this with Sam Gash a couple of seasons ago. People just go after them, like, online. And it's a lot of the times it's, like, other women attacking, like, these women as well. Like, I don't know what it says about Tom, but I feel like that's probably a reason why a lot of Australian Survivor players don't engage as much with the casual fandom as well, because there's, like, sometimes a lot of hatred out there. We've got to remember this is a game that they're playing. They're deprived of so many things while they're out there, food, their normal, like, comforts. Like, I think things get pretty tribal at some point in the game. And I personally have enjoyed Caroline. I've said this before. I like a good villain story, but it's broken my heart, Kona, to see Kitty and Caroline this week broken up. Like, you know, like, because they've been, like, that duo that have been together since the beginning. And, you know, Kitty being like, oh, you know, I don't really have a strategic mind for this game, but at some point I'm going to have to make a move. And, you know, we're going to have to be friends forever prior to backstabbing her good friend Caroline in the game.
Uh, It is pretty heartbreaking because it's also one of those things, again, it's one of those movies, you're like, whoa, Betrayal, it's so cool. Blah, blah, blah. And then you go, why though? Because like turning on Caroline specifically, I guess because if she's a lifeline, she survives another vote, one vote. Like if you're doing that, just one more day, one more vote, as long as I, then maybe I can flip something. If you can guarantee that you're not at the bottom because Kirby's giving you that grace, then maybe. But it's so like, what's going to happen next? You're at the bottom of that alliance. Like, that's always the thing, right? If you flip from the bottom of one, like Alex, then you're at the bottom of the next. Like, there's no, like, you need to make another move to where I feel like, I don't know what happened with Caroline, where I feel like post-merge, she was really kind of in control. There was clearly four players in the game with Ferris, Kirby, Mark, and Caroline on the other side. But I feel like Caroline's really kind of bringing Mark back in and then being overridden. Caroline made the move with Ferris, made that relationship there, could have done something pretty spectacular, like that people weren't seeing. And it only lasted one vote, brought back Mark, and she's really lost her power and her voice to the point where Kitty even turned on her, which is just crazy. Like, for running the middle-aged mafia, kinda, like, she got a lot of play there, made some good moves, I thought, and then it all just came crumbling down very quickly, and I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think she's a good player, and I think things have obviously, it's so easy to say, oh, horrible player. Yeah, she definitely made a mistake with Viola and voting Viola out when she did, and things went wrong, but, you know, again, it's so hard, man. I always want to say tomato. Like, it's so hard. You make one wrong move at the wrong time. Like, Survivor is an element of skill and luck. And the one thing I do appreciate about Caroline is that at least she's been in control of her own destiny in the game. Like, she's been trying to make move. She's been trying to be strategic about it. Where a lot of other players, like a Jaden, there's no stabs at Jaden because Jaden can also come on the podcast and tell us how wrong we are if he wants to. Anybody is welcome. Like, we're happy to face any of the criticism that, you know, we call players out. We are not players. We know that. We're not out there, but we watch an edited show. The way he was perceived as someone that wasn't actively involved in the game and sort of just tried to latch on to votes. Even in this last moment when Kirby told him to vote for Aileen, he was brought in last minute and just happy to do whatever to get his game that one step further. So I do think there's some good in Caroline's game. And Christoph here says, don't know what you're talking about. I think she's playing well. Older women tend to leave the game early. It's so refreshing to see someone like Caroline and Kirby being late in the game still and still actively being in the season. And then Ari says all the ones who last longer being pigeonholed as the mom. And then Jonathan Gray says Pierre got death threats as well. Rachel says Caroline saw Viola coming. She needed to strike first. Yeah. I think Mark could have kept Viola in check, but maybe not. Maybe I am overestimating Mark's ability to keep her in check there. But Mucky, I wanted to come to you in any case, mate. I wanted to talk to you about something else while we're on this topic, because I don't want to forget about this. Was there, and I know you're the one that you see the moves upon the moves upon the moves, you know, like you're always thinking, how can I make a better move than the obvious? That's why you thought you could do better than Raymond when it comes to this advantage. You know, this move here where Kitty ends up going over to Kirby, gets the information of where the votes are going to go. Would the best move in this scenario not have been to go back to her alliance and tell Alex who to play the idol on from the start so that she can remain with her numbers? Why did she not look at that as a potential option in the game?
Well, I mean, this actually perfectly ties into what I was just about to say, where I think Caroline taking up Viola, that was not a bad move. Where things went wrong was when, after they voted out winner, she went back to Mark and Val, right? I think that's when she lost so much power and so much agency in the game. And so I think, once again, with Caroline, well, with Kitty, she could have gone back to her alliance and been like, hey, Alex has got a public idol. Let's make this work. They were in the majority 5-4. But like, once again, like, she doesn't make that move. And maybe it's because Kitty's not a super fan. I'm not sure. But I just feel like with Caroline and Kitty, I feel like they get set up for a great opportunity, but then they take the wrong turn, if that makes sense, and which like cancels out their agency and their voice, which really sucks to see. But like, they just keep making those mistakes, right? To the point where if we had to do winner rankings, they're at the bottom with Rihanna for me at the moment, just in terms of game, because I don't think anyone would really respect their game since they keep on like taking the wrong turns everywhere. So I do agree that the kiddies should have gone and told Alex with his public idol, here's who they're actually voting for. I mean, thankfully, it still worked out with Raymond flipping, which was great. But as I said,
and like, Raymond's in the chat still here. Raymond says, you need to realize that at this point, we've all been out there for 30 plus days, and whether or not you want to admit it, there is a level of self-sabotage out there, along with the paranoia and exhaustion. Ray says, in regards to getting angry about jackets or feeling like you are being belittled and all that. So, we fully appreciate it. And like at the end of the day, I'm sure Ray, you were a fan prior to going out there. I remember in the intro package, you had like all the old seasons and things like that. Was it him or was it Eden? Am I getting it confused? No, I'm pretty sure Ray would have been a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Ray's
so,
a fan.
So he'll understand the lengths that we're watching the show for through is like an edited version. And we're seeing certain things, obviously, that the producers want us to see. And we're just commenting about that. But, we always appreciate there's so much more going on behind the scenes than what we can even sometimes see. But it's fun to hypothesize what we have done in that moment. Would we have taken another move? But if we were out there, Tom, completely different game, right? Like, I feel like it'd be pretty tough. And like, we can be critical as fans sometimes, but I feel like on this podcast, we try and look at all the different angles. I know you're probably the most critical out of all of us.
Well, I just love to talk shit. It's so much fun. And also, Raymond, can I say you're my favorite player this season? I mean, maybe it would have been Garrick if, you know,
you're your dad.
I could have snuggled him all the way to the end, but he's gone now. So Raymond, you're my number one. And I love your unbelievably harsh move to manipulate people.
I loved it too.
I loved it. Like, that's the kind of thing I want to do out there. Like, I want. Oh, that would just be so. What? Oh, Ferris, you're my second favorite. Baby, come back.
He's, you know, Ferris, what he is? He's a classic Alex. He's a floater. He goes
I love Alex too, actually.
The last person, all the men, the last person who comments, he floats to them basically on this podcast. This is what I feel like. Kuna, who's your person? Who are you standing for at the moment?
See, I mean, we said episode one, Ferris, and I still love his edit, but I'm so worried because like he's been betrayed so much. And it's like, it's one of those things where if you look at someone's game and you go, you know, when you're driving and you go, I'm a very good driver and I haven't made a wrong move ever, but I can't help other people on the road, right? And I feel like that's Ferris's thing at the moment is that he's making all the, he hasn't stepped foot wrong himself necessarily, but it's so crazy around him that he just keeps getting backstabbed when it doesn't make sense to backstab. So I want him to win because he's been that from the start, but Kirby is looking very strong at the moment, man. Like Kirby's game and what she can stand on and call out and pick apart in others' games. She's even got like she's got op info like she can use against Ferris as well. Like she's got things over him at the moment as well, you know. So it's gonna be an interesting run home.
Yeah. Mark says, Tom, come and join the Yucatan pack.
What does Yucatan mean, Mark? Please tell us.
Well, listen, if we're lucky, we'll get Mark on the podcast at some point. And you can ask him in person what Yucatan means. Ferris is saying, sorry, guys, I can't be serious. Can't be serious watching Mucky right now. Mucky's standard. Listen.
Yeah, it's just a standard. Yeah, I'm sorry, but maybe if I just did that.
We're definitely getting demonetized on this podcast.
So, if we can, I'd love to talk about Jaden's magnificence of holding the vote upside down. I thought it was amazing.
That was great.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Talking about some of the challenges, we mentioned the rope challenge earlier on, which was a great one to see, right? Very, very difficult to pull off. Like I can only imagine core-wise how much that would have hurt. Like Alex being up there as long as he was against Ree, that was pretty impressive to see. Again, Kahuna, I know you're someone similar to myself. Because we watch both shows, it's hard not to compare Survivor US to Australian Survivor. We've only seen one episode so far this season, so much can still come. But you know, one of the things I really appreciate about the Australian season is how they're modifying even well-known challenges. Like, we had that one where they had to move back and forward with the rope. It had that little round circle with, like, the four different sort of arms coming out, and they had to, like, stack the blocks on it and things like that, which, again, is like an altercate or like a slight, I guess, modification from what we've seen in traditional Survivor seasons, showing us that when we look at Survivor US and we're like kind on them, and we say like, oh, they're on an island, there's only that much resources, how much can they really do? No, they're just lacking a lot of creativity that the Australian Survivor season is bringing out with all these new challenges that we've never seen, like the rope challenge, like the little modification on the challenge to stack the blocks on the top of each other when they're moving back and forward. The one with the little, like even that they had with the circles and the maze where they had to do the live transition from one to the other to get to the bottom. It's just keeps me interested. Like a lot of the times in Survivor US, I fast forward through some of these challenges, but I don't find myself fast forwarding through challenges on Australian Survivor.
Like, I can see some of the ones that are remixes of traditional ones. Yeah, like, you're always innovating. And Survivor US does do, to a certain extent, it's the same. Why we get a board of it is because it's the same pattern with different colors. It's like obstacle, obstacle, puzzle. And the puzzle's purple this time, and you stack it vertically instead of horizontally, but it's still the same thing, right? This is, yes, but it's not trying to be something different. JLP says this is an older challenge that is the hardest it's ever been. It's got five tines on it that you have to do twice, two levels up. Like, yeah, it's not trying to be, look how original and creative we are when we just do the same thing over and over again. Where Survivor really extends is that, or really sort of surpasses the US, is that they're willing to push the person as well, not just rely on the challenge itself, because there's so much limitations to that. And the rope one, like you said, it's literally just a rope hanging, but the challenge is we're going to torture you for an hour plus and see how much will power and fortitude you actually have. And they do things with less. Like, there was the one a couple of weeks ago, which was just a pyramid where they stand on the side of the pyramid, right? Like, that's not that hard. That's not big logistics, that's not big budget. But it's just endurance and pain and how much have you got in the tank. And that makes a big difference, man. It's huge.
Yeah, I've been loving it. I think that, you know, anytime you see someone push themselves beyond their limits, that makes for entertaining TV. And then the fact that they're modifying it, I mean, even on this rope challenge, going to one hand and then having to switch again from the other hand, like those little things that they do, I thought it was brilliantly done. It was a great week for challenges. Ultimately, you know, we do see in the second episode, like we say here, Raymond gets the ultimate vote and he takes out Valeria, who in his mind was his biggest threat in the game. Like, I'm finding it hard to believe that Valeria was going to win this season based on the edit we've seen. She seemed to be pretty cutthroat in her comments and pretty direct. Mucky, do you think that Ray, and again, Ray, I know you're in the live here, you could definitely come and fill us in regards to what your thoughts were and why she had to go in this moment. Do you feel like that was the move to make here in this round for Ray, to take Valeria out in the game? Or did he miss an opportunity here to take someone out like a Mark, who, you know, very impressive this episode, went from being the one who groveled to get back in with the Titans, now being in the opposite side and talking to Kitty about potentially allowing her back in the alliance, which was such a bizarre moment to see the roles reverse between the two of them in the game, when not that long ago, Mark was trying to get back in the good graces of the Titans, you know, for trying to go against Caroline. You know, did he ultimately make the right move here, or was there a better move to be made?
No, I mean, I'm personally happy with the move, because I haven't been that big a fan of Val, like, since the pre-merge, and, you know, all you guys been high on her, like Twitter and social media's been high on her. So I'm just happy that all the edgic and all that sort of tryhards finally loses out on something, you know. And like, there's even that shot at the end of the pre-merge.
Shots fired, like, at the fans, Val's fans. Exactly. Bucky's coming for you.
Exactly, you guys suck. but like, even at the end of the pre-merge, when they did the promo for the merge, it's like, and who will be sole survivor? And it's just a still shot of Val, right? And it's like, nah, that's way too obvious. And,
That's the interpretation.
Oh, Mucky hates women. Wow, that's disgusting.
Hey, Tom, be original, man. That's your title. I ain't going to take it from you. No, but anyways, I do think this was a good move, though, because in a weird way, a lot of the season has been you take out I was going to say, yeah, you take out like the right-hand person or the left-hand person, right? Depends which hand the right worth. And, you know, that's how like Eileen went, you know, Rihanna's been targeted for that reason. Garrick was targeted for that reason as well. And so I think it's perfect taking up Val because in a weird way, you still have Mark, Kirby, and Ferris, three massive players in the final eight. And I think if you're Raymond, I know you guys said, how could you trust Raymond after this? I feel like people are going to need Raymond as a number to try and take out these big players. Because it's definitely coming to crunch time. Like, you've got to get rid of them before like the final five or so, right? So,
yeah. And if you think about it,
why like not do it now then?
Yeah.
Because if you do it now, there's still like, so let's say you take out Mark, right? You've still got Ferris and Kirby, right? So those are the next two players out, and presumably this can be a non-elimination next week, right? So potentially one of them could even come back in the game. But once they're gone, you're back on the bottom, right? Because you've still got the target of, I emotionally manipulate everyone so that I can play this awesome advantage. And so I think you've got to keep leaving these bigger players in because at some point everyone's going to start going after them.
The value of that risk And the consequences that you're talking about of having to deal with the backlash of the social consequences of that needs to have a bigger payoff for me. Like, he took so much risk and he worked so hard and worked his ass off for Val, which I don't think is a big enough prize for the work that he put in.
Yeah, but will he potentially come back in a future season of big moves? Because, there's a move that now is recognized, you know,
could
at
have
least
been bigger is what I'm saying. Like, if it's for his padding his resume, like, why not make it pad your resume? Why not make it bigger, you know? Like, he did all the right things. I think he just could have aimed a bit bigger.
Yeah, like, I do want to say why I like the move. And before that, I just like to point out, I love how Gabe has the receipts on Tom and his winner pick here. Well done, Gabe. Keep him honest. But why I actually do like it is kind of, I think what Rachel said here comes to mind. She said Mark has lost all four of his limbs now, Viola, Winner, and Val. So if you think about Val and if you think about Mark, who's the most likely and open-minded person that will possibly still work with you in the game? Out of Mark and Val, probably Mark, not Val.
Yeah.
Val seems to be someone that would hold grudges a lot longer. So by removing Val in the game, you now have Kitty and Caroline who no longer trust each other. You've got Mark, who's already got issues with Caroline as well. So you kind of have three titans there that all kind of, to a certain degree, don't fully trust each other and want to work together. And you left the one person in the game that's probably more susceptible to actually having a conversation with you and potentially working with you in the future. So thinking about the move, it probably was the right move to take Val out, not because she was a threat to win, but the way that the social dynamics sort of played out between the four of them, she was kind of the glue that kind of kept them together to a certain degree still.
Mark's the glue. Yeah. Imagine if Mark was gone, Val with Caroline and Kitty, who's up for grabs then?
Yeah, but I think what Raymond is looking for is options. I think Raymond is looking for options outside of the Ferris Kirby group where he knows he doesn't have the power. I feel like that's what's probably going on in his mind, and that Mark would still, to a certain degree, work with him. Well, I don't know if Val would do that. But I could be wrong. But I feel like that must have been the angle in my mind.
Yeah,
Findlestick coming out here saying, is Mark overrated? What moves can actually claim at the end? Jeez, coming out. Mark may make bigger blowback. I think Mark started off really strong, and then he tried to make moves. And the thing about Mark is he's got a great instinct for the game, in my mind, and the way that he wanted to make these moves. But unfortunately, there's been times where people just haven't come to play. They just haven't been there. Like, you need numbers in the game. So, but you're right. Like, definitely things have been going wrong for him for a while now in the game. Like, it's not like he's been in control of his own fate in this game.
The Jaden vote out was a good one. Like, pulling in Ray was a huge move. Like, I don't know how he, like, they've been out there for freaking 30 days or whatever. And he says three words to him in his ear, and he managed to do this monumental flip, which changed it all around, and was almost going to force rocks just by whispering in his ear. Like, that's impressive.
the reason he did that was because Alex passed the information on about Ray being open to a move, but Alex didn't know how to utilize it. So he actually took that information and turned it into something that actually moved the vote. So it's a good call out, Kahuna. That's one of those things that if Mark did get to the end, he could definitely call out. Tom, you look like you want to say something.
I know it's a bit off topic, but I'm just thinking about like, well, I'm thinking about if I was Ray, you know, if I had bleach blonde hair and everything, and I'm in the final eight and I'm trying to look at my path to the end with a winning, I suppose, like a winning jury setup and everything. And obviously, like, Ray has not been shown as a challenge beast. So I'm just thinking, like, if it was me, I'd be thinking, I don't want to take Rihanna to the end, because even though she's an easy beat, she's also definitely winning that final challenge.
Like,
So then I know I don't have power in that final vote. But for Ray, for example, like, I don't think he would beat many people in that final endurance challenge. You're still my favorite, Ray. I love you, but just I'm just facing facts here. So do you reckon, like, his best bet is to try and get Ree in the final three with him, alongside maybe probably Kitty? Everyone sort of just laughs about how Kitty can't lie and everything. I don't think anyone really looks at her as like a big player. Either her or maybe Caroline, because even though Caroline's made lots of big moves, I also, people talk about her as an emotional player. Like, they sort of talk negatively about her. So I'm just thinking, like,
well, I just want to put it out there. Like, if Ray's alliance currently is like the, you're right, at some point I feel like Kirby, and again, this just shows where Kirby is ahead, I feel like, of a lot of people in the game right now. She's keeping Ree close. She's giving Ree the necklace. That, again, Ree's that kind of person that will stay loyal to Kirby. If Ree gets into a final three with Ferris and Kirby, she's winning that final. She's taking Kirby to the end, and Kirby's winning the game. That's how I see the final three play out in that scenario. So Kirby is doing the right thing.
Unless Ree votes wrong. Ree might write down the wrong name, and then it all goes to hell.
I don't think at that moment she will. Let me just finish my thought here, Mucky. So the one thing I wanted to say is, so you're saying Raymond can't win it, but if Raymond, Kirby, and Ferris ends up in that final endurance challenge, who wins it? Because Ferris hasn't really won any endurance challenges at this stage either. Kirby, I don't know if she's going to be the greatest in endurance challenges. I feel like Raymond could have a chance in that scenario. Like, who knows who between the three of them would win such a scenario?
But then he can only vote out one of them, and he has to go to the end with another one. Like, I think Raymond, if he pitches right, he actually has a good argument so far, at least. But the problem is, I still think Ferris, Kirby, and potentially Mark all beat him. I think he could beat everyone else at this point in time if he pitches well at the end. Right. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's see what Ray's saying here. Just
I think anyone that thinks to any of those three.
Yeah. So Ray says here, there's many micro reasons as to why Val was the best option if the move actually worked, which I didn't think it would. Like, I think you were probably just as shocked as all of us when they actually all voted for you. Like, so like Ray said, there is an element of self-sabotage there. Like, if it works, awesome. I'm going to go down in history as someone who made a big move with a big advantage. Otherwise, I'm going home and, you know, I'm eating pizza. Like, you know, I don't have to starve out here anymore. Mucky, you've been dying to jump in on the conversation. What words of wisdom do you have for us?
Well, I've actually got two things to say, actually. The first one being, do we know if it's a final two or final three this season? Because I feel like that could actually heavily impact the end game if it's a final three. Because I think... You reckon it's a three? What about you, Kahuna and Chris? Do you guys think it's final two or final three?
I have not done the calculations, to be honest with you. I haven't done the calculations. When did they start on the jury? How many people were left? They had 11 people?
Yeah.
So if there's three, it'll make it nine, which means a possible tie?
There'll be eight. Eight plus three equals 11.
Right, eight. Sorry. It's late. So eight. So I guess it's possible. Yeah, with a potential tie being there, the tiebreaker being the person who gets third place. So yeah, it's possible. I haven't stayed awake at night wondering if it's going to be a final three or a final two. It'd be interesting to know if they, in the beginning of the season, explain what format it's going to be, or if they tell them it could be either or. You know.
Yeah, because I know with Heroes versus villains, like Matt especially, he played specifically thinking it was going to be a final two.
Yeah.
And then it was a final three and he knew he was screwed.
That's on him.
Right? Yeah.
That's
yeah,
on him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is Australian Survivor where you could get an advantage like Ray got this week that gives one person all the power at Tribal Council. Like, so you cannot play your game for a final two or a final three and expect to get there. You know, like, it's not going to work.
I do want to quickly bring this up, though. It's about Rihanna and her voting, right? So, like, you know, when she voted Mark the first time, right, you know, when Sarah went out, right, you know, going against all logic stuff, he does a bit stupid. When she voted for, I think it was Mark again, when a winner went out, it's like she pretty much got played into that spot, right? And when she voted for, I think it was Val, this time when Jaden went, I feel like she didn't actually do anything wrong, because when you see the whispers, she's sitting right in the middle, and she's not looking to her side, so she can't see.
She did something wrong.
So I actually do feel quite bad for Rihanna in that spot. It's like,
I thought she's been playing a really good game so far, to be honest. Yes, she's not in on all of the last minute chats on the votes. One or two votes have gone wrong. But she's been winning all of the individual immunity challenges, and she had the right read this last episode to not trust Raymond. Like, you know, like, the right thing is to be, hey, Kirby, I'm your number one. We've just taken out Ferris's number one. Raymond now could work with Ferris to take me out and weaken me in the game. Like, I thought all of that was a healthy level of paranoia that she had in the game. So I don't think she's, like, overly bad. I don't think anybody has. She's just invisible when it comes to, like, the strategy side of it. And it's maybe not because she doesn't have a mind for it. It's just the editor's not showing us any of those conversations. And I think it's not showing us those conversations for a reason. I don't see Rhi having a chance of actually winning the season at the end, unfortunately. Shia says, Mark, in brackets, love you, isn't a challenge threat for immunity, whereas Val is. So one of the reasons was taken out. Gabe says, Australia Survivor likes to keep players guessing. And says, play for final three, and if it becomes to adapt to the situation. Gabe also said, if Rhi gets remembered for anything in Survivor, it's cooking voters worse than Kara and Brains versus Braun. I really don't blame her. Like, I think even that vote, like, you could see Ferris and Kirby talking to each other if it's the vote that we're talking about, but no one actually spoke to Rhi prior to the vote.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is she supposed to know that the vote changed?
Shout out to production for placing them where they place them. Like, even in episode 17, by putting Raymond next to Mark, knowing that Raymond was open to things, like, production sits them where they sit them, right? Like, it's a very specific order. And separating them out that way just set it up so perfectly. And even in that one, if Rhiannon was next to Kirby, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's by because it looked like it, but some people say that she was just saying, relax.
Yeah, she wasn't. I don't think she was, like, we'll have to watch. I've watched the once, but I don't feel like she was right next to, I don't feel like in that tribal, I feel like she was in the middle of that tribal council, and Kirby was on one side, Ferris was on one side, like, from my memory. But I mean, listen, I'm not going to, I watched the just once, I didn't watch it twice, so I'm not too sure. Rachel says, sorry, I meant to type Tom when I said Tina on who Raymond can sit next to at the end.
I was wondering who Tina was.
Yeah, I was like, I must have missed the comment here somewhere.
Season two winner?
All right, so I feel like we've spoken about pretty much all of the highlights here for this week. Let's finish it off around the room here, talk about who we think is going to be the person that most likely is winning the season based off current placement. I'll start it off this time. I normally get you guys to start it off. It's going to be no surprises for anyone here. Can't remember who I said last week. I may have already said this person, but I feel like Kirby. I've been on Kirby for a while in regards to her gameplay. I just think Kirby this season, we're seeing her game for a reason. Strategically, she seems to be two or three steps ahead of everybody at all times. What she's envisioning is happening with her and Ferris getting closer, taking out Ferris as an alliance member. This is the second time she's had one over Ferris. I feel like Ferris is the bogey edit that is throwing us off. We all think Ferris is going to be the winner, but he's really the narrator of the season, and he's the big character, which is a lot of fun to root for in the game. But Kirby, even though she is sort of underplaying a lot of what she's doing, if she gets her bum on that final tribal council seat, people love Kirby. And I think that at the end of the day, Survivor is a social game. Like, if you're making those connections with people, people are willing to come in and play with you from other alliances, like Kirby did, like Jaden did. Like, she constantly finds a way, even pre the merge. She was the one who got the likes of a Valeria, a Winner, and a Charles on her side. If she gets to an end, she's going to be very difficult to beat in this game. So my eyes completely at this stage is on Kirby. I think she's got a very, very good shot in the game. Kahuna, I'm going to go over to you. I feel like you may second my nomination because you've also been very high on Kirby this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the controversial or the TNT take here. I'm going Kirby as well. I think it's remarkable that, like, I feel like it was only last week's podcast, maybe the week before, where we were going, it feels wide open. There's lots of people and there's lots of big, and then now I'm like, there's maybe 2.5, like 3. If, like, Caroline is out of the running for me, it's Kirby, it's Ferris, it's maybe Mark, and Mark is looking less and less likely as opposed to 2 weeks ago as well. I feel like maybe on the topic we brought up last week as well, if it does get to a final three, I didn't think Kirby would want to sit next to Ferris, but now I'm like, go with him. Because we've seen her have that social game that you were talking about, Chris. And I don't want to get controversial now, but we mentioned it last week. If they're in a final thing, who are they going to go, like, who are they going to vote with? The person they've all been flocking towards, the Indigenous woman or the Arabian prince that is dodgy and car salesman. And, but, like, what will his final speech come across like to people that are already calling him untrustworthy? You know what I mean? It will come off as very...
I just think Kirby's got a couple of things that she can bring up where she can say, actually, I was ahead of Ferris. I took his options away in the game. Every single time that we went head-to-head, he wanted to work with the Titans pre-merge. I dragged them and they worked with me. He wanted his right-hand man, Garrick, there. I took him out. We got to the merge. Yeah. Once again, I took out a person that he wanted to work with in Aileen, again, brought him in. So I feel like she could, like, nullify a lot of his game to certain
And she can even
degrees.
Go... the narrative of like last week, my thing on Kirby was, I feel like she took some hits this week. Like, she didn't win last week. Like, she lost with Scott leaving, voting Kelly out. She really lost the numbers. Ree was on the other side and she had to, like, flip to working with a Val and Winner and that sort of thing. And she was on the back ropes. She sat quietly. She didn't play out of it too hard. And then when she got a shot, she took out Aileen, like, immediately. Like, she took a sit back and then completely backflipped to the point where it was like, she's now on top again. Like, and she said, I got a bit bored. I wanted to, you know, I don't like not having control and making moves. So she did it and it worked.
But can I just call that out? That's something that again, when we're like, I don't make that comparison that the rest of you have made between her and Tony. Cause I feel like to compare anybody to Tony, that's very difficult to do because Tony is in a league of his own. But one thing that she does have that Tony's got in spades is understanding presence management and understanding threat level. And taking that back seat, I think, was very deliberate at the merge, not to become, like she said, the biggest target so that people would immediately go for her, and actually seeing where the dynamics were falling before she made her moves. She works in the shadows. She operates in the shadows. She makes small moves that she's making note of. If she gets to the end, I'm telling you now, she's going to have those moves ready to talk about. And she's going to have the social game to back it because she's not forcing big moves. She's making smart moves at certain times that she can pull back at to say, here's the clear narrative of how I got to the end and how I took people's options away and where I was a couple of steps ahead at all time. But I feel like that presence management and understanding your threat level and how to manage that, Kirby's been on no one's mind. Like, yes, everybody says she's a big player, but no one's actually targeting her at this point or voting against her. So I feel like that is something that is it's underappreciated from a lot of people when it comes to her game, and it's not being talked about enough. So, but that's a lot of love for Kirby. Tom, I know you're a man of the people, and you're gonna go somewhere completely different here. I would be shocked if it is Kirby, because she's not a man. Who are you voting for? Who's the person that's winning this season? Who do you think's in the best position?
Well, honestly, it has to be between Kitty, Caroline, Kirby, and Rihanna, because the other people, there's no chance. Look, It's obviously between Ferris or Kirby. There's no doubt about it. I think Mark's out of the running. I could see Mark coming like fifth or something. I think I might actually have to lean towards Kirby as well. Like, I was thinking Ferris, and I just think edit-wise, it makes more sense that Ferris gets beaten at the end. You know, yeah. like it gets defeated, and you know they love to torture Ferris. You know, giving him a,
and he loves George, so he could follow in George's footsteps and be a runner-up.
Mm. And it'd be interesting if they all sent like Rihanna, Ferris, and Kirby were three of the final four. And it'd be interesting if Rihanna obviously wins the challenge. Thank you, Gabe. And like, even though it's probably in Rihanna's best interest to take Ferris over Kirby, she takes Kirby instead because Ferris is so untrustworthy. Even though he's
who cares? You're going up against him now directly for the win.
He's literally way more trustworthy than Kirby. But anyway,
Who's Ferris turned his back on in the game yet? Like,
he's literally.
But that narrative exists.
Like Ferris, even Caroline and stuff, he reached out to them. He's like, he gave Mark the idol clue. Like, there's a the idol's real back at the camp, like the box or whatever the key.
Hilarious.
Like, he's helped everybody.
Ferris is honestly like probably the best ally you could have in this game, unless Kirby's playing with him, because then if you're Ferris's ally, chances are Kirby will gun for you.
Yeah. So Tom, you're and a fans was his favorite season. You're Kirby's number one target, since he's already said you're a part of the alliance. Getting into a fans was his favorite season.
What are you talking about? I'm only going to work with women. obviously. Duh.
All right. Mucky, so we did have you pull out your recorder there for a second. So I do believe we would have had that for the meme. Obviously, you can't go Aileen. No, definitely not. You can't go Aileen, and you can't go Jaden, right?
Back to back. Like,
they've been the two people you've been sort of shouting for most of the season. Who are you now going to back to win at this point? You know, who are you going to give the kiss of death to?
Well, I'm actually so happy you saved me for last, Chris, because I do have a dramatic closer I like to do. But the person who I'm picking to win Titans versus Rebels is Alex.
Alex.
Oh my. Alex.
Wow.
Who's going to win?
He could Stephen Bradbury it. When I called a few weeks ago that if all the big players like take each other out, I could see him like being Stephen Bradbury, like, you know.
That idle play on Valeria, I mean, game changer. Absolute game changer.
He's more of a game changer than most of the game changers cast, and I love the game changer season. So, I think Alex has got what it takes. Like, let's not forget, Simon was going to win Heroes versus Villains if he'd reached the end, and Alex has done more than what Simon has. So, I love Alex. I think if he whips out his Budget Smugglers, a final tribal, all eyes will be on him. So
that's the true game changer, rocking up the Survivor and that Budget Smugglers of his. Mark here saying back to back, and he breathes a huge sigh of relief that you did not choose him to be the winner of the season. That means that Mark won't go home in the next chance.
Mark is mad because he made, I forgot if it's a post or a story about like who likes my handwriting, and I said that. Like, the likelihood of me liking it, the same likelihood Eileen will go on a date with me. So pretty, pretty
so you don't Mark know. You don't. Me. You and Mark don't have that kind of relationship, mate. How can you be saying things like that to him?
How dare you? You're just like Caroline.
You're just like Caroline, mate. Like, you're just you and her, like, the same person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I don't care. I'll roast everyone.
Andrew Lee says, I'd rather have Caroline than Alex.
That's wow. Up.
Andre. Really like
She's the world's best midwife. Why would we not want her to win?
Yeah.
Andre,
and he's like, the world's best math teacher.
He's world's best math teacher, Kahuna. God.
No, he's a rebel math teacher. He's not a Titan one. He's a rebellion one.
Everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us here for the last hour and a half. It's been great talking about this week's highlights of Australian Survivor. We will be back next week to talk about next week's highlights, so be sure to check out. It'll be Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. That's normally when we do go live. We just got Char Dude dropping in at the end as we're leaving, saying, "I'm here, don't worry," doing a musical.
And had to a musical too.
He did a musical at the start. If you want to, you know, I guess if you want to go put yourself through some torture and prepare for Survivor when you get to that final tribal or final immunity challenge in the game, go and have a listen to Mucky's song at the beginning of this podcast. But hey, for now, thank you everybody for checking this out. Please consider subscribing, hitting the like, putting the notification bell on. Thank you, Mark, and all the other Survivor players that did drop in and for being great sports and not taking anything too seriously on this podcast. There's been no shots fired so far. And if there is any shots going to be fired, it's most likely going to be Tom's way. Because let's be honest, he's probably the most spicy out of all of us. But on that note, grab your torches, head back to camp. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye.